My name is Ryan Chapman. I am the Student Ministries Director here at New Life Church, and we're so glad you're here with us today. Last week, I had an opportunity to speak about my dad and what he's done, what he did for me growing up, and then the kind of the battle that he had with cancer, and me and Pastor John talked about that last week. One of the hardest things I've ever done on Father's Day was that, but one of the most impactful things is just being able to tell my story, you know, as hard as that was. So thank you to all the people that were just really encouraging after that, and I hope you were encouraged. Amen to that. So like I said, I'm the Student Ministries Director here. On Wednesday nights, I lead our 7th through 12th grade, and then I work at Yorkville High School full time. I'm a physical education teacher over there, and so I'm with students a lot. God's given me a really cool platform in this community, and so I'm just doing the best I can. So, this is a cool thing. So me and Pastor John are doing a Campfire Stories series. We are, throughout the summer, we're going to talk about parables in Scripture, break down the stories. I am not going to sit around the fire. I can't sit. That's just not kind of in me, my DNA. And so that's a beautiful fire, and we can all kind of look at it. And I think I told my wife, I'm like, if that thing starts cracking, you know, I'm going to get just so distracted. So if there's a fire up there, just make sure we turn that volume down. Keep that down. Don't start crackling. I'm going to start losing my focus. Anyway. My wife is Jamie. We've been married 10 years. We have two sons, Sid and Ollie. They are a bundle of fun right now. I tell every time we wrestle a lot. And that is where we're at in the stage of life. And new to me is I had just started my master's program in biblical studies this summer. That is kind of my new adventure that I'm on. Yeah, amen. Hey. It only took, he gives me a wink. It only took a couple years to get going, but hey, we started. And the first class, research and writing, you know? I'm like all excited about learning the Bible, and they say research and writing. I'm like, come on, that is brutal. Well, hey, I'm excited to speak with you guys today. We are going to camp in Matthew 13. If you got your Bible with you today, I always say, bring your scripture, bring it. This is our map. We're going to talk about that today. We're camping in Matthew 13. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower, and we're just going to break down what Jesus meant by that. One of the commentary writers that Pastor John kind of led me to was a guy named N.T. Wright. Breaks down scripture so good, so uneducated folks like me can figure it out, you know, because a lot of times you read that thing and you're like, what did it just say? And so this guy does such a good job of breaking down. His name's N.T. Wright. So me and N.T. are going to take you through this scripture today, okay? He gives the illustration of a maze. And I fell in love with it. He said, in order to be in a maze, to get to the finish line, you have to know two things. One, you got to know where you're at. You got to know your starting point. You got to know where you're currently at, and you got to know where you're going. And I just love that, because that can just be in so many areas of your life. You got to know where you're at, honestly, open, humbly, know where you're at. And you got to know what your goal is, right? You got to know where you're going. The maze is our journey with Jesus. So when we refer to that, I mean, the maze is trying to get to that eternal, beautiful heaven. That's the goal, right? Is to live that out in obedience to God. So we got to know those two things. And when I say we got to know where we're at today, the biggest thing that I'm going to ask you today is to be open and honest with your heart. This is a love story about a heart posture toward God. We have to understand that. It is about our heart. If there's so many things out these doors that are going to try to take your heart. They're going to try to twist life. And if it gets out of whack, If this is not first, then our life is going to have a little, we're going to have some issues. We're going to have some struggles. Now, the good thing is there's grace. Amen? The good thing is we have that grace. So, every year in at around January at school, I start getting emails from about select few of a group of about 20 to 40 colleagues that are asking, hey, can we do a Biggest Loser this year? Can we do it? Can we? Who knows Biggest Loser? Competitions? Okay, a lot of people. Good. So we do one every year, and I get volunteered to run it every year. So they're like, would you mind running it? I'm like, okay, fine. All right, we'll do it. What I love about Biggest Loser and this is that when people come in the first day and they don't want to step on that scale because they don't like where they're at, right? But that's what we're talking about today is I love that they have to be honest with where you're at. I love it. I'm like, that's just a number. We have a goal. We start to stay focused on the goal. This is just where you're at. We have to be honest with where we're at so we can move toward the goal, okay? All right, so let's move in. Let's move into some scripture today. You got to know where you're at to get to where you're going. There's three characters in our story that I want to make sure that we get today, okay? You got the seed, the soil, and the harvest, okay? The seed, the soil, and the harvest. The seed is the word of God, okay? We need to plant this. We need to make sure that this has good soil to grow. This is everything in this, from Moses' chisel to the red letters of Jesus to the beautiful letters that Paul writes. It don't matter what it is. It's the living and active word of God, okay? And so the seed that Jesus talks about is that, the transformative word of God. The soil, that's us. That's the Israelites, that's the disciples, that's the people that Jesus is talking to, and this is us every day. We are the soil. What kind of soil are we planting the word of God in? Okay? And then you got the crop. And the crop is the fruit that overflows out of us from the Spirit of God within us. That when we proclaim Jesus is Lord, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and we're fruitful with that. The only way to become fruitful is with Jesus in our hearts. There's no other way. We can try, but there's no other way. And so those are our three characters. We ready to dive in? Let's tell a story, okay? Matthew 13, we're going with verse 4 to start, and we're going to end with 9. This is Jesus talking. He said, then he told them many parables and saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up but were choked out the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Jesus is speaking to thousands of people all the time, telling stories. Could you imagine, right? Could you imagine today, guest speaker, Jesus. He come up here. He grabs the mic. We're excited for this sermon. It's going to be a 10-point sermon. We're going to be life-changed. And we're going to sit here in awe of him. Jesus, the teacher, the prophet, the God that's here. And he comes up and he says a story that we're kind of like, okay, what? And then he goes, those who have ears, let them hear. And he's out. And we're like, what? Can you imagine? I mean, that's what these people, this is the Son of God. They came. People came from all over to hear him speak. They wanted to have this man that is claiming to be God change their life, turn from oppression, change the world. This is the king. And he says, those who have ears, let them hear. And so this confused so many people. But what is God trying to get out of all of us when sometimes we don't understand what's going on in our life? He wants us to pursue him. He wants us to seek more, ask more questions. He wants us to find relationship with him. The one thing if we don't get this, we can't go any further. The one thing that God wants is intimacy with you. He wants time with you. He wants space in your life for him. And if that's not happening, then it's hard for that spirit to grow. It's hard for roots to grow. It's hard for that soil to be good if you're not even open to who he is and what he has for you. We serve a good God. Like, and I'm not just saying like God is good. I'm saying that he's a father. I love this because I can speak straight to your hearts right now as we're looking at our babies and we are in awe of just how much we love them. God is looking at you like that. Wow. That's beautiful, right? Right? And so, yeah, amen. Let's start clapping more in this church. I mean, this is beautiful. Yeah, for Jesus, right? Come on. Come on. All right? So God wants relationship with us. N.T. Wright, I told you he's going to help me. N.T. Wright writes, like the crowds on the lakeshore that day, our task again and again as we read scripture and think about God's work in our own day is to think it through and figure it out. Matthew's gospel is designed to help us do that. It won't always be easy. Now listen to me, people in these chairs, right? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Christianity isn't about cozy little lessons to help us make us feel better. It is about what God's doing in the world, what he's already done in Jesus, and what he wants to do through you today. That is our walk, right? That's our maze. But in order to get to where he's taking us, we got to know where we're at. I hope, I prayed so hard this week. Last night, me and my family, we prayed. Their hearts are open to receive, ears to hear, right, today. So are we here to seek today? I love because when we say, are we seeking God? I love what God wrote through Jeremiah, what God spoke. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is why Jesus leaves the we don't have cliffhangers anymore because we have Netflix, and so we can just like, boom, go to the right one. But like those of you that remember live TV and remember like when you had to wait a week for the next episode, Jesus, he's like, those who have ears, let them hear. And then everybody's like, what? We can't wait till the next one, you know? I mean, that's where he's at. But Jesus is saying right now, if you're on the edge of your seat, if you're wanting more, maybe you don't get it, maybe you don't understand Christianity, he's saying, seek me. And I'll show you, seek me, and you'll find me. Jesus' disciples were seeking, man. They were walking with him. They're the ones that dropped the nets. Me and Sid, my little four-year-old last night, just read last night, Peter, James, John, Andrew, they dropped the nets, right? They said, Jesus said, come follow me. And they're like, psh, I don't want to fish anymore, all right. And so they went and followed Jesus, you know? And so I love that. That's the heart of Jesus. The disciples, man, they wanted more. And they said, why didn't you give these people more? They didn't understand. They're like, why did you leave them hanging? And Jesus said, there are many people, you know, that are going to get stuck in this maze. I know there's a lot of people in here because I've been there. When you get stuck in that same place, you feel like your tires are spinning. You feel that disconnect at times. And we have to understand that in order for us to get to that point, we got to drop that pride, drop control. We got to move forward in him, and it's outside of us. I know daddy's in here. I know you want to control everything. I get it. Mamas, I know you do. I live that life. But we have to be able to drop everything, let go of control. So what Jesus said when they're like the disciples, right? They go back, they're hanging out, they're eating after Jesus' amazing like four-line sermon, you know? And he was like, they're like, what? Why did you do that? And Jesus goes, hey, he's quoting the prophet Isaiah. He says, you will be ever hearing. He's talking to the people, not to the disciples. He's talking to the people that he left hanging, right? You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. This is our caution today. This is how you get stuck in a maze. This is how we can't move forward in our life. And we want the gifts of God, but if we get stuck, we can't receive them because our hearts aren't open to what he has. We're right around the corner from a breakthrough, but it's so hard. I understand. We have to trust that God, if we have soft hearts, if we have openness, can do this through us. This is a weekly, a daily, a nightly prayer at the Chapman House. We have to have, Lord, purify our hearts, right? Psalm 51, give me a steadfast spirit, right? Like, this is a constant battle. So if you're sitting here and you're struggling, it's okay. We all do. But man, this is the heart of God, not for us to be stuck in the maze, but for us to get to where he wants to take us. We got to be there first. Let's get into our story and the meaning, okay? So Jesus, in verse 18, the disciples say, tell us, what did you mean by that story? Help us out. That's the beautiful thing, is we can look in hindsight and see what it means, right? Verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. That when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that fell on a path. No root. Came to a church service. Got inspired. Heard Jesus' message. Got inspired. Wow, that was amazing. We call this the water, right? And that the wilderness. We came. We got fed. It was great, but no root. And you know who's waiting for you in the wilderness? We got to know. We got to know that the enemy, the world, the flesh is going to constantly pull us in an opposite direction than God. We have to know this in order to fight it. Because if we have friends, or if this is where we're at in our walk, we have to be in combat mode. This should kind of anger you a little bit if you're a believer. Because when you think about the brothers and sisters around you, or the people around you that you just love so much, that you pray your heart out for, that you're on your knees for, the enemy is trying to keep them stuck in the maze. And so this is on us as believers, right? And this is in your personal journey that you can, with action, make a difference in this. We can help nourish that soil, and we can help water that soil so that seed is planted. Amen? Because that is a huge point, because this is the first step, right? Kind of the immature in your faith, no roots, just came to Jesus, just learning about him, just got popped up on your first like worship album. You're like, oh, this is good stuff. I feel good about this, right? And so we have to encourage that. This is the people around us that I know. If this is where you're at today and you're like just feeling out this Christianity thing, ask a pastor to go to lunch. Right? Just go ask your friend that brought you here. Hey, can I come over? Can we talk about like what happened, that sermon? This is where you can start putting WBGL or something on your, you know, presets. This is where you can start looking up some pot. You can start fueling your seed, right? We can start getting into scripture and letting it change our life. We got to fight the enemy, because he's going to try. He's going to try. The second seed in verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. With trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So I love my high schoolers. I love them with all my heart. Great middle school kids, I love them. They're all energetic, they're fun, and they're hungry. If you got kids in your life, even if they press away, that are middle school, high school, even if they press, they don't want to be pressing. They want to be loved. They want you to wrap them in their arms. They want to be fought for. Amen? They want to be fought for. And so my high schoolers, I preach them about identity, and they get all fueled up. I preach them about body image. They get all fueled up, right? I preach them about relationships. They're like, yeah, I want a good, you know, they're like, yeah, they're built up. They feel good. But then you talk to them about premarital sex and partying. And they're like, whoa, hold on. What can I do? I can't do that? When persecution or trouble of the word comes, they get scorched out. That root's not deep enough yet. If this is where we're at, and we all have that blank, right? That thing in our life that we just don't want to give to him, I encourage today that we start having conversation with that, about that. Whatever that blank, put it in, whatever it is that you're struggling with, that your way of living isn't aligning with this, and we all got it, but are we giving it to him with an open heart? Because Romans 12, you know, it talks about the renewing of your mind through the Spirit of God. He's not asking us to do better. That's not God. He's not going, you can do better. You need to do better. He's saying, invite me in and let me help with that. Through his Holy Spirit, we can start. We just got to be open. We just got to be open and honest about where we're at in the maze. If you're not honest, you can't go anywhere. If I can go, Lord Jesus, I'm struggling with this. And if you're saying that there's a better way, help me with that. I'm open to you. That is the heart of God. It's not figure it out, do better. That's not the God we serve. We serve a different God. If you have people around you that can help you walk through it, that can help nourish that. I mean, that accountability part is so, so huge. The last one we're going to talk about is in verse 22. Okay, the seed and the thorns. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is the toughest conversation for today. Because this seed was in good soil. This seed grew and has roots. This seed is churched. This seed heard that word, received joy from that word, probably hears it frequently. But that full harvest got choked by two things, is what he's warning us. And the first thing that he's warning us is about worry. We all worry. And according to stats, 40 million struggle with anxiety in our country. 18% of the population. So you're not alone. I can tell you that right now. Chapman household, we're praying. We're praying through it. It's hard. And the biggest worry that he's saying right now is that we have to be open to giving control. A lot of times worry comes from us wanting to hold on to some sort of control, and that we have to give that away to God, and it's extremely hard. I mean, extremely hard. And so this word worry that he uses, that Jesus uses, is also in Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Same in Matthew 6:25, don't worry about your life and what you eat or drink. Same in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry in itself. I mean, this is the same word in Scripture that he's using. And we have to ask ourselves today, like, where are we at with giving that to him? Are we aware of when it's starting to boil? Because, like, anxiety, if you know anybody, if you've had it, it can be so crippling and, like, heavy and weighty. And so when you start realizing the triggers in your life where that comes, we can start to fight it and combat it with God and his truth. And so I want to encourage that's what again, Chapman family walking with you, not up here at all, walking right by you. When we start realizing, okay, hey, what does Scripture say? Let's talk about this. What's the opposite of worry? Peace. We pray in peace in the name of Jesus all the time. Lord Jesus, give us peace and patience in your name by the authority of Jesus Christ, right? Start combating that. Just recently, when I was working out, I went into a lunge, a right foot forward, and you know, I'm 33, man. You just get old and you start feeling pain all the time, you know, like weird places. You start getting up, and some people are like, you're not old. Okay, I feel old, all right? And so I went into this lunge, and I had this shooting pain, like deep in my hip. And I was like, what in the world? And then I started, it just didn't go away. And usually like soreness, whatever, goes away. It's fine. This didn't go away. I started feeling it like when I was playing with Sid, you know, Ollie and wrestling and stuff. And I just started like, it was just naggy. So I'm like, I got to get this thing checked out. Okay. So I went and doctor's like, oh, I don't know. Here, I'll send you to a specialist. So I went and talked to a specialist. And, you know, doctors, sometimes they're too smart, you know. They're just too smart for their own good. And so he doesn't know my story. Now you know my story. You know, dad had cancer, super, you know, tough road. I hate the word cancer, you know. So this guy's like, well, you know, I don't know. It could be a muscle. It could be a hernia, you know. Could be a, he said the word tumor. And I'm like, come on, man. And he's like, we won't know until we have an MRI. And I'm like, okay. So you know how insurance works and stuff like that. So it was like 2 weeks before I got that. I know for some this is nothing, but that 2 weeks was like agonizing in me. Like worrying about the worst possible things that could ever happen to me, right? Just pleading with the Lord that it's not something bad. You know, results came back. Ready for this, doctors? It is a torn gluteus medius at the insertion point on the femur bone, okay? So for all these to get it, top of the femur, insertion point of the muscle, tore away from the bone, not, okay, we'll get there. It's just rest, all right? So not tumor, right? Not thing. And so I'm like, okay, you know? But worry, the worry that just like weighed me, it changed my relationships. It changed like how I was talking with my wife. It changed how I would interact with my kids. Like I remember sitting on Parkview Christian's bench right by their park, letting Sid and Ollie there playing. We were just hanging one night. And I was watching, and I wasn't even like, I was just out of it, dude. I was just in a zone. And I just looked up, and I saw these birds flying up there. And immediately, the Lord just hits me with scripture. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, Matthew 6:26, look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Don't worry. Yes, that's Jesus. That come on, that's scripture. That is truth, right? Like, the Lord planted that seed in me so I could have that in times of worry. Amen? Like, we have to be fueling our lives, right? Like, God will do it. Like, he'll throw some words in your brain, but you won't know it as scripture unless you know scripture, right? And so we just have to be open and willing to that, receiving that from him. And it's like, okay, does that just like, boom, take away all worry? No, not all the time. It can, but what it does is it speaks truth to the situation so we don't believe a lie, right? Because the second thing that Jesus warns us, and I'm going to just, man, we're going to finish with this. The deceitfulness of wealth. What's the hardest part to preach about deceitfulness? You don't know you're being deceived. It's a lie. So if you're being deceived, you're like, I'm not being deceived. Well, that's deceitfulness, right? Is that we have to pray for our hearts to be receiving this. So when we talk about finances, when we talk about wealth and money, what's the things you don't talk about in church, right? Like, or with your friends, you don't talk about politics and money and religion. And here we are, like, doing all three today, you know? It's just like, hey, you know, we're Jesus. We're it ain't anything but Jesus. So, you know, we have to ask the Lord for guidance when it comes to our finances, when it comes to how we view wealth. Because Jesus himself, 2,000 years ago, is talking to the same group of people that have the same issues that we do now. The deceitfulness of wealth will choke you out. This is what he's saying, that you can sit in these chairs. You can hear these messages. You can get in this book. You can hear it all. And you can even grow a root. But it means that as far as that root grows, there's no fruit to show because it got choked by deceitfulness of wealth or the worries of life. And that, to me, we have to have some urgency in that. Because that means that we could be thinking we're going somewhere, but we're not. And so the Spirit of God is the evidence of fruit. The spirit, openness to that Spirit of God, right? The humbleness to that. And, you know, growing up, Dad always did bills on Saturday morning. And we had this long ranch house. And all the, I did it again this service. So why am I even telling you this? I don't know. It's irrelevant. So we got up and we would walk out on Saturday morning, and you kind of knew in his voice whether it was like money was going good or money wasn't, you know, by like, good morning, Dad. Like, see how it is, you know, see his response. If he's like, hey, what's up? You're like, okay, like, life is good. Hey, can I get 10 bucks? You know, we didn't do that. But so like, Dad worried so much about money. Like, you could hear it in his voice. You could see it in his in how he postured himself. I just remember all the time. And me and my sister, now we've talked about it so much. Like, what do we carry of that, you know, of like putting, like having money up here? And I wish I could have that conversation with them and reflect with them about that, because I've caught myself. And I mean, there was a couple years back, there was like a good like 6 month period of my time where all I read was like financial books. And I just was like, I was like way over here and God was way over here. And I was just like, I wasn't inviting the two together. You know what I'm saying? And so I wish he was here to talk about, but I look at now, I see two ways that I can respond to that. Because I feel that same worry at times. I feel that same emphasis on money in my life if I focus on it. As I see one, I can work harder. I can find more time. I can spend more time at work. I tell every high schooler, because when I'm like, you know, we talk about money. High schoolers love money. They think it's like the best thing ever. Cars, money, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you want to be a millionaire? That's easy. Just go work all the time. Go work. Don't spend your money. Be a millionaire. You know, it's fine. You know? You got to make sacrifices. And I have to ask myself, is that aligned with this, right? Like, hard work isn't bad, but when I put it above this, then it turns into an idol, right? And so it's so easy to get in the brain. I'm providing for my family. I want to buy nice things. I want to do, it's so easy. I'm speaking to myself right now. I'm preaching myself. But the other thing that I think about, work more to take that away, or is Jesus... Is this a heart issue of mine? Is this something that I need to work out in myself? Rather than, do I just, if I get more money, is it going to fix the problem? Or is it a heart issue? Well, we all know that Jesus only speaks to the heart. That it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters is your heart and the posture that it has. Because we know that David was a man after God's own heart, and David was a mess. If you look at his track record and you're like, dude, he's a super Christian, you're like, no. Like, murder, adultery, you know, dude struggled all the time. But he's a man after God's heart. Why? Because he was open and honest and just laid his heart before the Lord. And so my encouragement today, as we move into the good part, the finish, is that we have to know where we're at in order to get to where we're going, right? The good seed, or the good soil, the seed in the good soil, verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, and this is the one that produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the goal for us all, amen? The goal is that we receive the word, we put it in our hearts, and we let it blossom as we pursue God. I told you, me and NT, we're going to take you home, okay? NT wrote, according to this map, the way to bear fruit is by hearing and understanding. And church, this takes time. We're on a journey together. This takes time. And sometimes it's hard work. It takes discipline, right? A quick glance at scriptures and occasional sitting in church or a study group or being entertained by some new ideas is probably not enough. Hard truth. But care and thought needs to be put into the task of hearing the word of the kingdom until it is taken proper root. And this, I love this, because this takes action on our parts, right? Stones may need to be moved out of the soil. Thorns may need to be uprooted. But when hearing becomes understanding, we know we are getting close to the goal, the heart of the maze. And the heart of the maze, I'm just going to finish with this scripture right here, Philippians 2. I believe the heart of the maze is imitating Christ. It's imitating Jesus. Are we inviting Jesus in our hearts and saying, I want to be like you? imitating Jesus. Paul writes, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in the mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I just want to finish the same thing that I started with. The only way to receive from the Lord is to know him. I mean, you got to know his character. You got to trust in that. I mean, I've said this before, if there's one thing in the last 5 years that has shaken my relationship with the Lord, it's that the way that I look at him is he's not a finger-pointing, door-slamming father. He's not a father that's going to tell you to do something and then walk on his own agenda. He's going to be the daddy that's going to walk with you. He's going to be the guy that's going to hold your hand when it's the hardest thing that you possibly do. He's going to be the guy that's going to be right alongside you going, you got it. I know you can do it. I know you got this, honey. You got this, buddy. I'm proud of you. I love you. That's going to be the daddy we serve. If you're sitting in church today and you felt emotion that turned kind of the guilt, that's the enemy. God does not make you feel guilty. He presses into some things that may be hard, and he wants to walk with you to the end of the maze. We gotta believe that. So if you feel some sort of feelings that maybe you don't like, that bring you to tears, that are hard for you to understand, seek God, a daddy that wants to walk with you. If you don't got anybody in your life that can help you walk in that, talk with me, talk with Pastor John, talk with any of the leaders that come up here today. Jesus wants to walk with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that it just penetrated the hearts of each individual here, Lord. I pray that your goodness overflows out of New Life Church, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that your Spirit challenges and transforms us to be more like you. We need more Jesus in our life. We need more of you, Father. So, Father, I pray our hearts are open to you, Lord. I pray that we have ears to hear, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.